diving right back into it. Hey, you know we're less than 2 months away from Blink 182, right?
Let's go. Right. Oh, my gosh. That's going to be amazing.
Somebody in the text line has a question for Bob and Mac. My 10-year-old wants to know where the British woman is this year.
Well, I think we can bring her back, and you know, Mac can go through all the cliches and pull them, and we can start that up on Monday.
That's like, damn.
Yeah.
Because you've been actually talking about that for the last couple of days.
Come on, man.
You know, you've been like, it's summer, man. Where's the British woman?
Yeah, yeah. I've wondered the same thing.
Well, I mean, she'll be there just fine. And, you know, so I, you know, we'll send a telegram overseas where you can get the most delicious fish and chips in the world. Which, by the way, where do you think you get the best fish and chips in Kansas City? Because somebody, a friend of ours, told me that she's on a fish and chips kick right now, and I'm like, huh, I wonder where the best fish and chips are in
Culver's.
Kansas City. Culver's does.
Have you ever had their cod?
Yes,
it's insane.
Go get the walleye sandwich at Culver's too.
Seasonal.
Yeah, it is. I know, but this is the season.
Don't sleep on Red Robin's fish.
Seriously?
I'm dead serious, dude. It was a very popular item because we'd have a lot of Catholics come in on Friday,
right.
With like a business lunch or something like that when I used to work there way back in the day. And they would get the fish and chips, and their tartar sauce is amazing.
Oh, the tartar sauce.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they would just take that malt vinegar.
See, I'm out on the malt vinegar. That makes me throw up, man.
It smells
like feet to me.
See, I use Tabasco.
Ooh.
Yeah. So kind of the same concept.
We've talked about the Chipotle Tabasco, right?
That's right. Smoked.
Okay. Oh,
yeah, come on now.
God.
You used to steal it all the time.
I mean, that's money in the bank right there. We were talking about it on the lake, and I'm like, I forgot I had that in the refrigerator. I went home the other day. I was putting it on everything. I was just making stuff to put that sauce
Chipotle
on, man.
Chipotle Tabasco?
Chipotle. Yeah, smoked Chipotle. Lake Tabasco, yeah.
I used to
smash.
I was really bad, and I know I'm not the only one. Text line, I know you're there too.
Yeah,
used to get your burrito to go, and then you go over and grab napkins, fork, turn your head one way or the other. Drop
that was back in the day,
and then you walk right out.
Everybody swiped that.
Yeah.
That the stealing of the Tabasco or the stealing of the soda, like getting the water cup and filling it up with soda. Like
never
those people.
I never did do that.
I
will say that.
I did that in high school. We all did that in high school, and because that's when the first time that actually like came out where you didn't like, that's how old I am. Like before they would fill the cup. I think they're back to that now at like some of these places now where they don't give you the free refills because people abuse it. But I went to Cava yesterday. Delicious lunch with my friend Britt yesterday.
Yeah.
And the woman said, I said, I just have a water. And she goes, oh, I'll give you a free soda if you put a Google review up. I'm like, I don't want a soda. I just wanted water.
You
know?
Turn it into tea.
Yeah. But she said that as well. Yeah. I wasn't in the mood for anything like that. I just wanted water. I just got worked out at the J. I'm like, you know, I'm getting all swole and everything. And I'm like,
outside.
Yeah, just want some water. But you see people stealing it all the time now, too. Now they switch cups. So they know. They know. They pry. They know.
Asking you shall receive. Southside Fish and Chips, top notch.
Oh, Southside, yeah.
Jay's on Prospect.
Okay.
Long John Silver.
I thought we lost Long John Silver's.
Fish Market and Liberty.
Okay.
And then off the food truck. Or off, or the,
off
hook.
The hook.
Off
okay,
the hook.
Okay, yeah, I've had that. That
you
is
have?
Good.
Where's that at?
I've had a food truck off the hook in Wyoming, but I'm sure they have multiple food trucks everywhere.
I'm sure
yeah.
it's not even affiliated, you know. It's probably,
you don't think?
No. Okay, yeah.
Captain's Corner in Smithville. You got to take a drive.
Yeah.
Or you can go to Arthur Treacher's.
Arthur Treacher's. There it is.
It's not the same cod.
Again, I was down in the Arthur Treacher's well the other day because I was sending you about Racks and Mr. Delicious, right? And if you don't know who Mr. Delicious is, he was a character that this company named Racks Roast Beef hired to promote their thing. Mm. And he's talking about having a vasectomy in the commercials. And then he's talking about his wife leaves him. It's like the most depressing Eeyore of a man. It's like the guy at training camp that doesn't want Josh Simmons to be good, right? I don't know. And so this Mr. Delicious guy was this advertising figure for Racks. And again, it led me to Arthur Treacher's. And I was, you know, going through and seeing how they screwed it up. They got rid of the cod.
Mm-hmm. Asking you shall receive is what I would say to this next topic.
1-0 pitch. And he bombs one right field deep. To the wall, Acuna looking up, it's gone, Pasquantino. And with that one swing, Vinny Pasquantino not only records his 18th home run, but he underlines very graphically the big problem for Eric Fetty as a starting pitcher this season.
Go ahead and destroy bad pitching with your hitting. So far, since the All-Star game, the Royals have played 11 games. They are 6-5. They're averaging 5.8 runs in these 11 games, and they're also giving up 5 runs per game. So whereas the pitching has kind of started to dissipate, the offense has started to appreciate.
Right.
And we've seen that because they are scoring runs. They've had games where they've scored 9-7-4-4-5-8-12-7. Now, there are two duds in there, the 0 and a 1.
Right.
But again, The offense has finally arrived. Two games under 500, four games out of the wild card. Are we still hanging on to hope because it is about a 10% chance they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I think it's 11.8% is what the Athletic had yesterday. You know, give or take a percentage point. But if you want exact numbers, right?
Yeah, and so, 12%.
Yeah, basically a 12% chance of making it to the playoffs.
But with Bubic out and Cags on the DL and Reagan's still out.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard. It's hard to say this is a playoff team right now. Now, look, we still have what 24 plus, you know, 12, you know, from 11 hours. So we got like 33 hours until the trade deadline.
And I noticed on my ticket last night is game 55 at home.
Oh, okay.
So there's less than 30 games left at home.
And Vern was talking about it yesterday a little bit. The second third of the season completed yesterday, and the Royals, I think, finished six games under 500 in the second third of the season, which is a big drop off from where they were. I think they were four games over. Obviously, and then they're six games under. That's why they're two under right now of 500. So the first third of the season, they played four games over 500. The next third of the season, they played, you know, six games under 500. But here we are. We still have a third of the season to go. But still, you're looking like, okay, this is Atlanta right now, and Acuña going down last night, man. Like, I want to cry. I mean,
he was crying last night.
I know. I want to cry for him. I hate when great players get injured. And if you don't know, he probably blew his Achilles is what they're saying. Well, that's what he kind of said after the game, too.
He said he felt it. Running home on Monday, but didn't want to miss any games because he felt like he'd missed too much time. And that's a dude on a losing team.
Yep.
Like, that gives you a lot of respect. Now, obviously, there's going to be some, you know, blowhards and be like, well, if he felt hurt and they're not winning anything, why would you just not sit down and get healthy? You're not an athlete. You're not. You don't have that fire and desire to go out there and play and be a brotherhood of your team.
Well, that's the thing. It's the brotherhood of being your, you know, being there for your guys.
Sucks. He's one of the best players in baseball.
It's awful, man. I effing hate this. The older I get, the more I hate seeing star players get injured, right? Because you appreciate as you age what these guys are able to do, and as you know, when you're younger, you probably don't. It's fine. No big deal. It's whatever. But I like watching Ronald Acuña Jr. play. I think baseball needs Ronald Acuña Jr. to be out there playing and being really good, right? It sucks that he went down. And so you're beating up, you know, right now in the Braves, doing what you're supposed to do, beating up on Fetty Wap last night and taking care of business and then putting up the sixth spot or whatever it was in the sixth inning. Beautiful way to go. But now you've got Toronto and Boston coming up for these next six days on the road. And so that's going to be a difficult task for this organization, but I'm still interested to see what they're going to do at the trade deadline. Like, are they going to make some more moves? Are they going to go get some more offensive help right now? It's hard to say a team is a playoff team when they're still under 500. If you're over 500, you're in the conversation. Under 500 right now, you're still kind of on that outside, you know, looking in. And so the Athletic was suggesting yesterday, and I want to know what you guys think about this. It says Kansas City playoff odds aren't completely dead, but much like Cleveland and Minnesota, barring some kind of miracle, an October appearance seems doubtful. Instead, the club should prioritize the health of its pitching staff that has the potential to be one of the league's best for the next several seasons. And their suggestion was basically start shutting guys down. Now, I'm not in that ilk right now. I don't think that's the right move to do. Noah Cameron's getting ready to top, you know, his most innings pitched. Bubic is done for the year. Reagan's is out. Lorenzen is out. You've got these injuries. And so their suggestion was in a couple of weeks, start dialing it back and shutting these guys down. Now, if you're six games under 500, Dusty, I'm good with that, right? But as long as you still have a fighting chance, you can't start shutting down your pitchers. What's that going to say to the rest of your team?
Right. And then you've got Bobby Witt Jr. I know a lot of people have said, you know, he's having a down year. Hitting .289 right now. 36 doubles, 3 triples, 15 home runs, 58 RBIs, which is kind of, you know, really down from the year past. But it's crazy to think that he's having a down year, and that's where we're at.
Yeah,
and he's still a stud.
He is. And I was looking at the All-Star odds, whatever it was I was looking at yesterday, like MLB put like your top five contenders for the American League for the American League MVP up. And I'm like, I wonder if Bobby's in this. And it's chosen by a panel of MLB.com experts. So you know this is legit, right? Mm-hmm. And so they have Aaron Judge, which I hate to break it to you right now. Cal Raleigh's your kind of leader in the clubhouse, I think anyway. And he comes in at number two. Jose Ramirez, number three. Scooble, four. And Bobby Witt Jr., number five in the AL MVP race. And I'm like, that's really cool to see. Because even in a down year when the team is below 500 and really not challenging, you know, for a postseason birth, Bobby Witt has developed that street cred. Like, you know those offensive linemen who always make the Pro Bowl because everybody knows they're good regardless of what they do?
Mm-hmm.
That's where Bobby Witt's now. He's in the arrived category. And I thought that was the biggest thing that I took away from that. I'm like, Bobby Witt's now in the arrived category. Everybody around baseball knows this is one of the great players in the game. And even in a quote-unquote down year where the team isn't winning, he's still a top five MVP candidate. That tells you how good that guy is and how much everybody knows that dude has arrived on the scene, man.
According to DraftKings, there's only six players ahead of Bobby Witt Jr. with better odds to win MVP. Aaron Judge, who was a foregone conclusion was over, is now only minus 160. Cal Raleigh, plus 130. Jose Ramirez, as you had mentioned, plus 7,000. Tarek Skubal, who you mentioned as well, also plus 7,000. Here's a name.
Skubal win the MVP and Cy Young?
He could. Nick Kurtz is fifth in odds at plus 1,000, tied with Corey Seager at sixth, and then Bobby Witt Jr. after that. So Nick Kurtz, the rookie, up there.
You and I were talking a lot about him last night, and man, being that fourth overall pick, where do we say he went to school? Like San Diego State or someplace like
that? He went to some like baseball school in Tennessee.
Okay.
It's like basically like Southwest Baptist.
Like the University of Tennessee is a baseball school, right? The Volunteers?
Yeah, but I mean, it's more so like a small like branch school.
Because they're not a football school in Tennessee, I can tell you that.
Come on! Don't forget, a week from tomorrow is Travis Kelce Appreciation Day here on 96.5 The Fan with this show, 8-7, representing Mr. 8-7. We come back, we talk about the receivers on this roster. It's a conversation we do every year, plus we get back to the poll question on 96.5 The Fan.